Donald Trump has spent this long campaign season defying, well, everything. The establishment, the elites, expectations, and often decorum. His campaign for president was counted out at first, but Trump tapped into frustrations felt by many Americans to cultivate a loyal base of supporters who eventually gave him the Republican nomination. Now, Donald Trump is looking to pull off the ultimate political upset and become president of the United States. NPR's Sarah McCammon has this look back at Trump's unlikely path to Election Day.
Trump set the tone for his campaign from the very first moments. At Trump Tower in New York, after riding down the famous golden escalators with his wife Melania, Trump told supporters the U.S. had become a dumping ground for other countries' problems, and he singled out Mexico.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
That led to the central promise of Trump's candidacy.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Trump also promised to bring back manufacturing jobs and renegotiate or pull out of what he described as unfair trade deals and defeat ISIS, a message that quickly resonated with many frustrated voters. Early on, Trump's rallies were filled with large, excited crowds where he'd make this promise.
We have to make America great again.
The wave of enthusiasm for the brash real estate developer from Queens who'd never held office mystified many pundits and political observers who largely wrote him off at first. Here's an exchange from July 2015 between Democratic Congressman Keith Ellison of Minnesota and ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
This man has got some momentum, and we better be ready for the fact that he might be leading the Republican ticket.
Next, I know you don't believe that, but I want to go on.
Sorry to laugh.
That sentiment was reinforced by a series of controversial remarks that Trump made in the early months of the campaign about Senator John McCain.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured.
Fox News host Megyn Kelly.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
And then in December, Trump made this announcement.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on?
That statement followed the attacks in Paris and San Bernardino by Islamic extremists. The proposal, which Trump has since altered several times, brought widespread criticism from across the political spectrum. But it was clear that his tough talk was what many primary voters were looking for. Trump knew this well and bragged in January that nothing he could say or do would dissuade his loyal supporters.
I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
Trump's loss the next month in the first-in-the-nation Iowa caucuses to Texas Senator Ted Cruz gave hope to some Republicans that perhaps Trump was beginning to wane, but the GOP establishment failed to coalesce around an alternative candidate.
We want to thank the people of New Hampshire, right? Do we love the people of New Hampshire?
Trump's first big win came just over a week after his loss in Iowa. Many political observers argued Trump's popularity had a limit, but plenty of GOP leaders worried he would barrel toward the nomination. In early March, the party's 2012 nominee, Mitt Romney, made a last-ditch effort to persuade Republicans to stop Trump.
He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat.
Romney said Trump lacks the temperament and judgment to be president and warned of economic and foreign policy crises if he were to win. But GOP voters had other thoughts.
I want to begin by thanking the people of South Carolina.
We love Nevada.
Thank you, New York. We love New York.
I mean, you go Rhode Island, and you go Maryland, and you go Connecticut, and you go Pennsylvania, and you go, I mean, the whole thing, Delaware.
As Trump's nomination became inevitable, House Speaker Paul Ryan, the highest-ranking Republican elected official, gave Trump his endorsement in early June after initially saying he wasn't ready to support Trump. Days later, Trump was under fire once again for racially charged comments about a federal judge of Mexican descent who was presiding over a fraud lawsuit against the now-defunct Trump University real estate seminar. Trump questioned the ability of the judge to be fair because of his heritage, and Ryan couldn't avoid being asked about it.
Claiming a person can't do their job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment.
As the Republican primary season drew to a close on June 7th, a chastened Trump read from a teleprompter during a press conference at his golf club in New York, promising to make the party proud.
I understand the responsibility of carrying the mantle, and I will never, ever let you down.
After vanquishing 16 primary opponents, defying the expectations of the establishment, Trump made that promise to party leaders still concerned about whether he could adopt a more presidential demeanor. At the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, much of the focus was on unifying against Hillary Clinton, as speaker after speaker painted her as corrupt and scandal-ridden. It was there that the crowd began shouting, "Lock her up," at the mention of Clinton. Trump tried to present himself as a team player and uniter of the party.
Who would have believed that when we started this journey on June 16th last year, we, and I say we, because we are a team, would have received almost 14 million votes.
Soon, Trump was dismaying many in the party once again with his criticism of the parents of a Muslim soldier killed in Iraq who spoke out against Trump at the Democratic National Convention.
He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me. But
after another round of criticism, Trump went on, continuing to hold the kinds of large rallies that had brought him success in the primary. He continued to attack Hillary Clinton, calling her corrupt and highlighting conspiracy theories about her health. Those were fueled by Clinton falling ill with what turned out to be pneumonia at a 9/11 ceremony. And then, the Friday before the second presidential debate, an October surprise that many predicted would doom Trump.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the...
In a recording from a 2005 taping of the TV show Access Hollywood, Trump can be heard on a hot mic bragging about groping and kissing women without consent. Trump apologized for the video and tried to shift the focus by bringing women who'd accused Bill Clinton of sexual harassment or assault to the second debate. CNN host Anderson Cooper questioned Trump repeatedly about whether he'd really done what he described on that recording.
But I have tremendous respect for women.
Have you ever done those things?
Women have respect for me. And I will tell you, no, I have not.
Within days, Trump was facing a cascade of allegations from women who said he had done those things. Trump, always the counterpuncher, denied them all and threatened to sue his accusers. He kept the focus on Hillary Clinton's email scandal and questions about her family's foundation, issues that reinforced his narrative that his rival represented the failed and corrupt Washington establishment. In the waning weeks of the campaign, a new slogan, "Drain the Swamp," joined chants of "Build the Wall" and "Lock Her Up" at Trump's rallies.
And you're right about the swamp. Say it again. Right? You better believe it. Boy, that is...
The call to upend the political system and replace it with something new has defined the trash-talking real estate mogul's campaign and validated the frustrations and fears of millions of voters. By the end of election night, Trump will know whether voters validated his vision for America. Sarah McCammon, NPR News.